Okay, well, hello, everybody. This is Carla Crotel. I'm in Youngstown, Ohio. I work at Youngstown State University, and I'm the co-author of what we refer to as the Green Book, which is Understanding and Engaging Under-Resourced College Students, and also co-authored Investigations into Economic Class in America, which is a textbook for students. It's been a pleasure and honor to be engaged with AHA Process and the other consultants in developing these materials, and the real privilege has come from getting to travel around the country and meet people who understand the value of this work and are working to put it into practice in college campuses and student services programs, academic programs across the country. Typically on these teleconferences, we have participants from coast to coast and north to south in America. The people who have been working with this material range from folks in adult basic literacy education programs and other types of bridge programs to community colleges to public universities and colleges and private colleges and even high schools. So it's really quite amazing to see how this has grown. Now, of course, it is higher education, so we move a little slowly, but we do move, and things are happening, and it's pretty exciting. I have some of my favorite people on the line today. They're from Lewiston, Idaho, and they work at Lewis Clark State College. They were actually my very, very first consulting trip I ever took. I'm not even sure which of the books had been published at that point, but it was very exciting for me to get to take three airplanes all the way across the country to get to Idaho and meet this amazing group of people who are so committed to student success and in making their educational programs rigorous, yet also accessible and supportive. So what I'm going to do is introduce the two speakers that I'm sure of are there in the room today, and I'll let them take it from there, talking about why they were attracted to the work, what they've been doing with it, and what they can teach us so that we don't make the same mistakes or those kinds of things. Jeanette Guerra, Jeanette, I've never used your last name, is adjunct faculty and also a consultant on the Student Success Program at Lewis Clark State College. And Savannah Holmes is also at Lewis Clark State College, and she has been working extensively developing first-year experience programs there. Both of these women have been wonderful allies in the College Achievement Alliance and also traveled all the way to Ohio to come to a recent Train the Trainer so that they can go back to their own college and do additional training and work with their partners and work to get everybody on the same page using common language and some shared understanding around these very complicated issues of how to work effectively with under-resourced college students. So Savannah and Jeanette, I'd like to turn this over to you, and you can give us an overview of what's been happening out there on the West.
Thanks, Carla. This is Savannah, and I think before Jeanette and I kind of head into some of the points that we'd like to make, I think that you set it up nicely asking, you know, what attracted us to this work to begin with. As you might have heard, I am the director of the Grants and Contracts Office here on campus, but I also happen to be an adjunct instructor in the humanities, so I teach composition to our freshmen. And I think the other key point that Carla touched on is that this work provides a common language, and I think that's something that really resonated with me and kind of what compelled me to move into working with the concepts in this initiative. Jeanette?
I want to give a little more information about our college as well, Lewis Clark State College. We have approximately 4,500 students, mm-hmm. and we are a unique combination of an undergraduate liberal arts college combined with a professional technical, mostly two-year degree printing programs, and a community outreach component community college as well. I had about 5 years working with TRIO Student Support Services on our campus, and we serve 160 students a year here, and we know through doing our trainings with the Green Book, a lot of people in the TRIO community have found a lot of value in these resources. And that's what, when I initially became attracted to this work was when I was serving my TRIO students. So TRIO program students have to be first-generation low-income or have a documented disability to qualify. But on our campus, probably about 70 to 80% of our students could actually qualify for those services. So that's 2,000 to 3,000 students, but we were only serving 160 students through our student support services. So we had an opportunity through a grant through the Albertson Foundation to pilot more programs that could serve a larger population at our college, and we really thought this resource was what could offer a lot to this larger population on our campus.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, being able to have that common language going in and working with our faculty, our staff, in addition to getting students, getting these concepts in the hands of the students is kind of building that understanding of a network of understanding throughout the campus, and I think that we've made great strides in that, and we'll touch on that a little bit.
I'll go ahead and share how, though, we ended up finding this resource. So in my work with TRIO Student Support Services, I was a retention specialist and often did tutoring and academic advising, but there were often things that my students were going through in their life that was beyond my ability to help or beyond my resources that I had within my office. So I did reach out into our community often to find the additional resources and support that could assist our students. And we were fortunate that for the last 6 or 7 years, we've had a Circles community and Bridges Out of Poverty trainings going on in our community the Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World offered within our community as well. So I would send out information to our college students that these classes were available. Many of them qualified, especially TRIO students, because there was an income level way to qualify to go to the Getting Ahead classes. So I saw how really Getting Ahead was this more holistic approach to their life and their goals, and getting their kind of life more stabilized was what then enabled them to actually focus on more of the academic skills, and it just kind of put everything together to help them be successful in school. So we had a lot of time that we were partnering. Community Action Partnership in Lewiston was the agency that was facilitating Circles, or is still the agency facilitating Circles and Getting Ahead. And we had several students go through that. We were able to bring in our Dean of Student Services to see Circles in action and see the impact it had on our students. And then David Bash from Community Action Partnership, he's always been like our little mobile library, bringing us some of the greatest, newest books that have been coming out. And he said, now they have one that's specifically for the higher education audience, and that's when he showed us the Green Book. So we were really excited about that and brought that to our administration, showed them that information, and along the time right after that was published was a time that the Albertson Foundation in Idaho was looking for ways to support higher education success, higher graduation rates, and enrollment in college. So this kind of just all fell into place at the time when it could really be utilized here on campus, and we knew Investigations was also being created as well. So as the grant was being written to the Albertson Foundation, we wrote in a lot of the components of the Green Book, Circles, Investigations, so we'd have an opportunity to pilot and do some training and support on campus. Do you want to mention?
Jeanette, this is Carla. Before you go on and talk more about how the project evolved at Lewis and Clark, just for the benefit of folks on the line who might not be familiar with all of the various books, AHA Process was founded by Ruby Payne, and her seminal book was called Framework for Understanding Poverty. And in that book, she addresses the challenges that students in elementary, middle school, and high school have. When they're coming from a low-income environment and trying to cope with, you know, the rigors of education in the system, usually being taught by middle-class teachers. from there, Phil Duvall and Terry Tuesday Smith worked with Dr. Payne and wrote Bridges Out of Poverty. And this book essentially translates Dr. Payne's concepts for community people, social workers, community action agencies, people in government organizations that are there to try to help people get out of poverty from the community basis. In doing that work, Phil realized that the biggest gap all of our programs have is the fact that they never actually talk to people in poverty about what they know or what they need. So he sat down in a sort of kitchen table approach and developed Getting Ahead, which is a workbook to be used with people in the community who are trying to get out of poverty. And by honoring where the knowledge that people have when they come to the table and asking them to investigate what is going on in their lives and what meaning that has for them and what they may or may not be able to control and what kind of information they need to make informed choices. This is an incredibly transformational experience for people from poverty, and they are able to better stabilize their lives and start making more informed choices. So then what happened is various colleges, like Lewis Clark College was working with their community action partnership and kind of catching wind of this. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, I was working here and hearing about Bridges and Getting Ahead and doing some workforce projects experimenting with Getting Ahead, and we're like, we need to do this for college. So the Green Book, Understanding and Engaging Under-Resourced College Students, translates Dr. Payne and Phil and Terry Drizzy Smith's work for the college audience. You know, and what are the peculiarities of a higher ed culture, post-secondary education culture, that we need to account for when students from generational poverty come to our doorsteps. And likewise, translated, as it were, Getting Ahead into a college textbook. Everything that is wonderful about Getting Ahead is in investigations. We changed the look and feel and added some specific college content to support the needs of college students. So I'll stop there, but that's usually a question that if somebody is not particularly familiar with where our stuff came from and everything, as you start talking about the various books and how you've used them, it can be a little confusing. So I'll stop there, Jeanette and Savannah, and turn this back over to you. Sorry.
Thank you so much, Carla. That does help a lot, of course, and something I like to always share about these materials of what really did attract me from more of my personal background experience is that was able to do a project called Rethinking Urban Poverty when I was studying as an undergraduate in the Philadelphia area, and it really highlighted to me that sometimes higher education approaches issues of poverty and doesn't include the people living in poverty at the table to find the solutions. And that's what I really appreciated and valued in a lot of Ruby Payne's work and all of the works through AHA process, is that you're getting people who are affected by problems in their life at the table, their voice, you're empowering them, they're creators, investigators, leaders in their own solutions. So that is what really I admire about this work, and I thought was kind of a key different approach to working with TRIO students or all our students at Lewis Clark State College. So I am going to have Savannah tell a little more about then our projects and our goals that were written into the Albertsons grant proposal and how that has guided us towards what we've been doing for the last 2 years.
So the grant that we got through the Albertson Foundation kind of provided us with a unique opportunity to try to get kind of the ideas and the concepts that are in circles and understanding and engaging kind of at a campus-wide level. And we weren't sure how we were going to be able to do that, but we knew that in order to attempt to try to address it, we needed to include that the campus at large would receive some training and coaching services in these areas. And that training and coaching being specific to creating a culture of success and understanding about at-risk students across the campus community was how we wrote that into the proposal. As you can imagine, that might be a little bit hard to assess, but we look at it as being more qualitative than quantitative.
Although our numbers are very good in terms of how many people have gone through training, including faculty, staff, and students at this point. But the other thing that the grant tasked us with, of course, is the sustainability component. How are we going to make sure, ensure that these concepts were truly integrated in a more systemic way? And so the sustainability plan included creating that campus-wide awareness of those needs of people in poverty or under-resourced students, and being able to have a more accommodating environment for those students, and promoting that heightened student success and personal leadership, those concepts. And so with the noble attempt of attempting to move a paradigm, shifting a paradigm here, which as you can imagine is can sometimes be a little nebulous, but we've managed to kind of key in on some concepts based on our own very specific population. As Jeanette alluded, we have 75% to 80% of our students who could meet the criteria of being at risk via first generation and or low income. And so we knew that whatever, I mean, there are so many things that we could do, but we wanted to have the most impact. And so where we've headed with this structure in place, I think has unfolded in a really organic but very effective way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've broken down, just to help organize it for ourselves, some efforts on campus that are more student-focused, and then efforts that are more faculty and staff focused. And I'll kind of share, I guess we'll just go into what those different activities and efforts have been. We for students, were able to pilot the investigations class. So we did that last spring with a cohort of students who are going through a program called the Student Success Program. So we had about 20 students that experienced that in the spring. And that was a great learning experience for all the instructors involved with it as well, to help us shape what may be the future of a freshman experience course here on campus. So that was a very valuable experience and useful for those students going through it as well. And we've been working to integrate them now in a continuing kind of on-campus circles group that will continue to meet and support them with allies in the future. We were able to, I'm jumping a little bit to faculty staff here efforts, we were able to bring two social work professors, Savannah, myself and a student to Ohio to become certified trainers in understanding and engaging under-resourced college students. And in working with those social work professors, there's interest in creating upper-level social work, sociology, social science class that utilizes investigations on our campus. So that may eventually be something that we have more students becoming or enrolling in the future. And we see that, of course, of helping the students while they're students in that time investigate their own situations. But if they are social work, social science majors that are learning that material, we see that as training for them when they are out working in their profession as well. So it's an exciting kind of future role that they'd have with some of these materials as well. We have been able to, on the student-focused efforts, be presenters at a Native American and minority students' leadership retreat, and we were able to do workshops focused on, how do we frame that, the 11 resources and strengths and how they can be work on building those resources in their lives and building relationships, social capital, while they're students and leaders here. We have also been able to do each semester in the last year and a half a poverty simulation, or now we're using cost of poverty experience, and a Bridges Out of Poverty workshop. And this fall in particular, it was completely for students who were members of anthropology classes, social work classes, sociology classes, And this is something that we think is going to become a standard part of at least the Social Work 140, which is our intro to social work class in future semesters. Let's see. Okay, a little bit more on faculty, staff, campus partner focus efforts. Our big training we were able to do was this past summer. We were able to invite Carla to Lewiston, and we had 40 faculty and staff, including many of our upper administration, go through 2 days of training with the Green Book, as well as a half day of strategic consulting for our campus. So that was a really exciting event to bring here. It's a training, you just don't see that many training opportunities available on campus like that. To have a national speaker and author be able to come to our campus was a pretty special deal for us. But it was also very, very strategic time because many of us nationwide, of course, are seeing the Complete College America goals out there. So we have Complete College Idaho that we've been working with. This fall, we've had a lot of our administration and faculty and staff working on new strategic planning goals. And am I missing something else there? I mean, that's a lot of stuff to think about. And our State Board of Education has been doing their strategic planning goals as well. So a lot of these big things are coming in, and this was a really wonderful time that we were able to have that time to really focus on how to understand and engage our under-resourced college students. The book gave us resources about, you know, how to understand our students, how to do practical things in the classroom, but really also think about expanding our collaborations and partnerships with our community to help engage our students as well. I think I'm talking a lot, so I'm going to let Savannah go with some more ideas.
Are there any questions about where we have focused our efforts so far before we kind of keep moving?
Savannah, this is Carla, and since you're the grant writer, this is a question right up in your wheelhouse there. In terms of, you know, when you're trying to cope with a state plan and a national plan and your Board of Education's plan, and everybody's got strategic plans and goals that they expect you to fulfill and operationalize on your campus, what aspects of the Green Book or investigations did you find speak most directly to those types of strategic plans, the type of language that the state folk and the national folk and the Board of Ed folk are focused on currently? How does our material resonate with those types of plans?
That's a really good question. I think maybe I'll start with where it resonated with me and where I've been able to kind of build on that. And it really was about the relationality. The fact that the books talk about the importance of that, and we kind of inherently know that, but we kind of lose sight of making it explicit. And so it really has been to a large degree creating relationship with those people in those positions. So that, I mean, you can talk about paradigm shift, but unless they have relationality with you, there's going to be more resistance than you would typically expect in kind of the unwieldy process that is higher ed. And so it was also helping redefine what under-resourced was for them, reframing their understanding of that. And so to that end, to serve kind of this paradigm shift, we helped redefine how to serve under-resourced students because we talk about, since the definition of poverty, of course, is the extent to which students do without resources, we made the argument that virtually all students are under-resourced in some capacity. And when you can get their attention in talking about the 11 areas, the resources, they start to have an understanding of why this work is important, not just to people who perhaps are in poverty, but to any college student that is coming to a new environment such as a college campus. And so those were some of the kind of underpinnings that were really helpful in moving the conversation forward.
Well, that's terrific, because I know that's a challenge many of us face, where, you know, the state the folks with the funding opportunities and the strategic plans are frequently looking at your capacity to produce people with specific skill sets and people that are employable, and there's a great deal of pressure for time towards degree and retention and things. In my mind, the missing piece is always this disconnect between the environment of poverty that so many of our students grow up in versus the environment in higher education, post-secondary education, which is very middle-class based. And since it's a missing piece, a lot of the strategic planners don't recognize it either. So your strategy of building relationships with them and helping them see that this applies to all students, not just a subset of students, I think is brilliant. Thank you.
And you hit it spot on. It really is letting them look at it through that lens, because they don't recognize, you know, a fish doesn't know it's in water. And so the people that are in doing the administration and guiding our policies, they don't know that our students are missing, you know, those hidden rules and how to learn to navigate and operate in that. In the TRIO programs, we address that somewhat, but not to the degree that this work does. And one of the reasons that I'm really thankful for this work is that it's kind of helped create the underpinnings for our discussions about our freshman experience, our success seminar that we're working on. And we're really working on it from the perspective of all students being under-resourced to the degree that they're coming into a new environment and there are lots of hidden rules. And so those underpinnings have really served this those efforts very well. Jeanette, do you have anything to add?
I don't know if this information is in Complete College America plans throughout the country, but I wanted to share that in our Complete College Idaho plan, there is acknowledgement that poverty is a significant barrier to education, and they've shared in our Complete College Idaho plan that young people from high-income families complete college at a 60% rate. Those from low-income families complete at a 7% rate. So, and then it says, this disparity does not exist because young people from higher-income families are smarter or more talented. In reality, it's a spectrum of issues. And, you know, considering all the different resource areas really gives us a way to address this and approach it in a variety of ways. And I mean, I'm just appreciative that this is acknowledged by our state, and this, the resources we have through the Green Book are helping us bring to light strategies that need to be considered at this time. And, you know, the goals are for by 2020 for 60% of Idahoans to have some post-secondary degree or certificate, and we're currently in Idaho at or below 25%. So, you know, we have a large gap there to overcome. So we really do have to acknowledge we are going to be reaching out to a lot or, you know, many more learners possibly from different under-resourced backgrounds. So it's a time to seriously consider our strategies and how to approach this. I can mention, too, sometimes this is a question, why are we partnering with Community Action Partnership? This has been a wonderful thing. Community Action Partnership has done, they call it their pipeline to end poverty they've been working with, and they try to coordinate people throughout the community to address in this pipeline everywhere from birth, age birth to six, K through 12, post-secondary, employment, and then later on financial stability and quality of life times in people's lives, so that's like the pipeline with those different categories. And they have seen so many situations of people they're serving down through Community Action Partnership of people who aren't able to access higher education or are able to start higher education but not complete it for a variety of reasons. So they see partnering with us, working to support how we can support our students as a win-win for everyone. I mean, they're going to be supporting our persistence for students and graduation, and we're going to be supporting students that will not have to, in turn, come back for some of their services. And Jeanette, actually, she touched on a great point about why we partner, but also the other side of that in terms of lessons learned. While it's been
so beneficial to have the partnership with Cabot, and truly we would not be able to do this work without their support. But at the same time, what we recognized pretty early on was that there had to be somebody from within the organization, our institution, that were carrying these efforts, that the efforts couldn't just come from the outside because they didn't know the environment of the campus, where there might be trouble spots, what the dynamics were, and it became clear pretty quickly and early on that in order to continue to champion these efforts and this initiative, that it really would have to come within the structure itself, and that's why Jeanette and I stepped up and said, you know, we believe in this work enough and LC enough that we want to put this extra effort into carrying this message and this work forward. And so CAP has been very gracious in allowing us that latitude and still providing the support that is really necessary.
Mm-hmm. Carla, are there other areas you want us to highlight?
Well, I was thinking about two things as you were talking. You are also blessed with some pretty high-level administrative leadership and support for your initiative, and that's not always the case. Oftentimes, this work catches fire with somebody, you know, at the program level that's a coordinator or a manager, and they seek to move it forward. In talking with your administration, what kinds of ideas resonate with them? In other words, you talked about how you help your state-level folks understand the relevance of this material to their statewide strategic plans. So likewise, how do you help your upper-level administrators and understand how this is going to fit into your particular campus environment?
I know that partially what happened for us, very fortunately, was that when Jeanette early on got Bridges Out of Poverty here on campus, that our dean of student affairs went through the training, through that simulation, and it really opened his eyes. He, again, knew kind of inherently that there were issues, but when he started recognizing how deep of an impact those hidden rules are and those resources that our students lack, he really made a commitment to bringing this this work here. And that's really where it started.
Absolutely. And we had some great faculty champions who participated in Bridges Out of Poverty as well, and even one, Eleanor Downey, who did our first Bridges Out of Poverty training. She's had decades of social work experience, and she even found that this work gave her the structure and the language to explain the phenomena she's viewed on campus for years. You know, so this, to us, was something that we felt was really, I don't know if revolutionary is the right word, but you know, it was something that was really hitting home with people, and they found very valuable, useful, and wow, this is giving us power with language to explain what's going on and solutions and ways to move forward.
And that's one of the things that I would add as an encouragement for people who are just beginning this process and this work, is that we're very fortunate because we are a small institution. We have a fairly small student-to-faculty ratio. And they're here because they love to teach. They love the students. We are not a research institution. And so because of that dedication, there are a number of faculty who are already drawn to this work. It resonates with them. For the faculty out there that it may not, and that's okay, because I think that there is enough momentum for the folks where the work does resonate with them, that they're already making strides. We're starting to hear it in conversations that come up around the tables, in the lunch, you know, in the cafeteria, that people are starting to say, you know, some pretty good things about how this could impact no matter what area they might be touching in terms of students or staff or faculty. And Eleanor did indicate to me, you know, knowing that she couldn't be here with us today, she talked about how having those terms, you know, that common language, helps her to effectively more teach in her area. And that's how we see this work kind of spreading out, that ripple effect. It's going to touch people where they already live and just in a more impactful way.
And it's also, I think, every area of our campus, different faculty groups are having more and more conversations about student retention and persistence. And so this is obviously targeted material that gives them more information that they that can support their work. So they're very eager to see this. We, one of our efforts too with faculty was to anyone who attended the training in the summer with Carla received a copy of the Green Book, but then we distributed it throughout campus to all of our directors, division chairs. So over 100 books have been distributed to our faculty and staff. So it's something that's in their hands, in their offices, and can easily, you know, be discussed, be there as a reference when they need it.
Which kind of leads us to where we are headed for our spring efforts. The team that went down and got trained in the Green Book, we're now looking at wanting to host probably three different workshops over the spring semester that would help kind of start building on the concepts in the Green Book specific to curriculum development and then ways to instruct. We think that there's going to be a lot of interest in these areas, and this gives us a really good way to kind of practice our training. Mm-hmm. So we're really kind of excited about what that we can take the concepts and move them out of theory and move them into, you know, more pragmatic application for the faculty in the classroom.
And something else exciting, I've had a lot of faculty interested in doing some of these kind of teaching excellence workshops, and I think it's going to be a great way to support our faculty, boost their morale in some ways, because we are such a teaching-focused college. We have a lot of best practices already going on, so we'll be able to present some of this Green Book information and highlight how it's possibly already happening in several of our classrooms, but then give the opportunity for it to be shared between faculty from different divisions and backgrounds. So we're really excited. It's a time where we'll be able to gather, share best practices, hopefully record and, you know, find ways for these to be captured and shared in the future as well.
And then the other thing that we hope to do is from the work that we plan on doing in the spring is taking that effort back out into the community and connect up with our workforce, because CAP is also working from that end in helping businesses be exposed to these concepts as well. And if you think about what the potential for a partnership with people in the workforce or those businesses and collaborating with us and understanding these concepts, what a nice segue it would create with that understanding. And then also when you turn out the student who's now graduated and they move into this, you know, into the working world, it's more supported. And so we're really excited about what our future holds here as well.
Well, you answered the question that I was going to ask you next, which was whether or not you had started to translate your Bridges Out of Poverty trainings into the college trainings now that you've been trained, and that sounds like a wonderful plan for spring. I'd like to encourage the audience to think about some additional questions for Jeanette and Savannah, and I'll give you a second to do that while I ask them one more question, because this is also something that probably everybody on the line has to struggle with. You have 160 students in TRIO, and, you know, those are probably the students that are getting the most direct benefit from the knowledge gained. But, you know, you've got maybe 2,000 or 3,000 students that might actually directly benefit from this type of work. What plans do you have with respect to working with students in the future? And I realize that these things do take quite a bit of time to develop and fund. But what are you thinking of doing for your students on campus, more of your students on campus, as you scale up?
That's a great question, Carla. And I alluded to it when I talked about the paradigm shift and how that's going to help inform our freshman experience. But specifically what we're working on and we're getting ready to carry into Faculty Senate is specifically working on accredited course that is specifically designed around these concepts. And this course, as we work on getting faculty buy-in, in terms of just the validity of the work and the effort that this how it would impact the student, all of our students, because we're looking at making it mandatory as part of their freshman experience orientation as they come in, which you can imagine the impact that's going to be very far-reaching. And I think that we can make a good case for why it should be mandatory for all students. Again, looking at the extent to which students are under-resourced, our financial aid director made a very good comment when we had her in our focus group talking about this very thing. She said, you know, I've seen 4.0 valedictorians fail when they come to college. It's not because they're not smart or have resources. And so I think that just recognizing and reframing when we think about students being under-resourced, you can see how far-reaching the impact can be if we are successful, and we're very encouraged that we will be successful because we do have the Dean of Student Affairs, now the VP of Student Affairs, behind us in these efforts, and he sees the value of this as well. And we do have principal administration on board in terms of seeing that there is a need for systemic change, and however cautious and appropriately so we move in that direction, at the end of the day, I think that they see the value.
That's terrific. Go ahead.
Sorry, Carla. Just the capacity we built with getting five of us trained in the Green Book, we're going to have a lot of opportunity in the future, whether it's doing workshops focused on faculty teaching methods, or if it's staff, kind of more customer service working with new students coming on campus, or in the future possibly using our trainers to reach out to what we call referral agents here, people that are our community partners and high schools, guidance counselors, Department of Labor, people who are trying to get people to college. That's another avenue we could reach out to share this information to kind of stretch the pipeline to the other direction before they get to school, as well as to that after they leave school.
Well, one other question I want to ask you. I've got our audience now chomping at the bit for them to get a chance at the microphone here. But one of the other aspects of your program and the way you're designing things that I admire and is very congruent and aligned with our philosophy is you have students at the table. You have students who have been through Getting Ahead or maybe investigations who are informed and knowledgeable and bring their perspective and their experience. Can you talk a little bit about how they've helped you, what you have them doing, what you have them working on, what you've learned from working with them?
Do you want to share a little first? Or?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
You started working with Doris.
Okay, so this has been very exciting. I mean, obviously I have known several students who went through Getting Ahead, and I try to stay connected with Community Action Partnership and people who are current college students. But that is something that, you know, I've been passionate about from the beginning, is that the student voice should be at the table, and their time should be valued and respected as well. So we were able to have some students attend the summer training when Carla was here in Lewiston. They were a part of our strategic consulting session that we had on a half day, and the students who attended that were paid for their time because everyone else there was a paid member of our faculty and staff. We were able to bring Gail Lombardi, to a current LCSE student, to our train the trainer in Canton, Ohio last month, and this has been a new development I think I didn't even get to share with Carla yet, that we are looking at opportunities for her to actually be an intern this spring, so work along with our consulting efforts, and she will be a part of going into different division meetings, doing presentations on this information. She'll help with the teaching and learning workshops that we do for faculty. She's going to be an integral part of a lot of our future trainings and presentations, and she's a student leader for a trio club on campus, so she's really key in recruiting more students to be a part of this. Students who have gone through Getting Ahead or investigations are often eager to continue to be a part of this, and very willing to help. So we're excited to see where this can go. And she has the authentic voice, and she's a current student. She's gone through so many different obstacles and barriers to succeed here, and She's been a real inspiration. She's also being utilized through Community Action Partnership to teach their Getting Ahead class, and she just completed that. So she did that this fall, and we'll do it again this spring.
So as what Jeanette was sharing illustrates, we really are very committed to this work. And the other thing that we see in having a student be a part of that voice is, you know, we're kind of putting our money where our mouth is. Jeanette and I taught a section of investigations last spring, and so we knew how it could impact students, how the concepts work literally in the classroom, knowing what some students might be up against. And I'll clarify, the section that she and I taught, the students were not necessarily from poverty, and so we couldn't make assumptions, and we still found that the work was equally effective when we framed it with looking at the resources being the underpinning of the entire work and that class. And so we saw working in a very pragmatic way, and when Gail got involved in this, it's kind of been, you know, she's kind of leaving us in the dust a little bit in terms of her enthusiasm and what she's bringing to the plate, because she's so excited to be part of this, and yet we really couldn't do this work without someone like her.
And that's a word to the wise. As your students become exposed to this information and empowered and start to understand how to get things done, be ready for them. I would like to turn this over to the audience to see if there's any questions for the folks there out in Lewis and Idaho. I think if you want to ask a question, you can try to start talking, or how do you want to handle that, Lynn? I'll just shut up. I don't know how to do these things.
That's okay. Everyone should have the ability now to talk with us, so just if someone is talking, please let them finish their question, and we'll hear the answer, and then we'll go on to the next question. So do we have any questions from the people that are here with us this afternoon?
Did I understand that you have a Circles initiative or a Circles site on campus for those people who've been through your investigations class?
We do. It's quite different than the community-based one. We've been aiming for a monthly meeting, and several of the people who attend actually have gone through the Getting Ahead class within the community, but our intention was to make it more accessible, available within their current life schedule. So we meet on campus about once a month with the group and allies.
So you only focus on the ally meeting, kind of like a match circle meeting rather than the...
I'm working, but what do you mean?
Rather than what?
Rather than having like a big view meeting or a educational meeting like a more the community-based circles might do.
Yes. It's mostly, it's just a group with allies and leaders there together to check in monthly.
Okay, great.
Yeah. That's where it is.
Do we have another question? And just as a reminder, everyone is off of mute, so if you have background noise.
If she doesn't live here and she's traveling with Randall, there's really not a lot that they can do, and they won't, you know, be too hard on her, but we just need to say that. So
there's someone we hear there, but...
Right. Anyone else have a question?
Yep, that was good. Where is she at? Is she still driving?
Hello? Carla, are you still with us?
I am. Are there any other questions from the audience?
Yes, I have a question. I'm curious what kind of challenges you faced as you bring this information to staff members. Particularly, are you hearing anything, any resistance that it really doesn't apply to staff? There's not a need to know this so much because they're not working with students in the classroom. And how have you addressed those issues if they've come up?
Indeed, we have. I think any time that you're facing any kind of a paradigm shift, where people are not seeing how something could apply to staff, for example, who are not maybe dealing directly with the student, it's really having them understand the concept so that even if they're not really dealing with a student, they're touching things that touch students, if that makes any sense. And so we kind of reframed it from that place, that just having that awareness would help them be able to do their jobs very, you know, much more effectively in terms of understanding what impacts students.
I know when we were planning the training this summer, I did have that exact question of, you know, does this apply to me from our student union building staff? And they ended up attending and found it very valuable because just an understanding, I mean, they serve students all the time coming to the student union building and kind of the main information desk, and just understanding why people communicate in a certain way, the different kind of casual, formal, and circular discourse, they found that really valuable in understanding how different economic backgrounds might affect that. I think it also was a unique opportunity to say, kind of shift our culture and our mindset for some people on campus who are in that staff position, to let them know really we have an opportunity as staff members to educate and create learning experiences for students. So, you know, whether it's financial aid helping people fill out FAFSA or go through their financial records, I mean, you have some teaching opportunities even in that role. So that's kind of a different take on these teaching techniques sometimes. And also our community programs division, they're often not in the classroom. They're doing a lot of outreach programs in our community. They do help with distance learning on our campus, but a lot of times they're serving students in ways that aren't classroom-based. And they're actually taking this book, their directors of the community programs division are reading the book weekly and discussing it in their director's meeting, and they're finding it has a lot of information about how to make effective partnerships, collaborations within the community, things to just consider from people who are coming from different backgrounds, where their resource strengths might be high or low. So it's giving really just the perspective of how to work with people a lot. And I think, yeah, one other thing I want to say before is we were doing Bridges Out of Poverty trainings on campus, and that did get an initial reaction of, well, that's good information. I could go to that, but I don't see how that applies to my job, was kind of the, I think, reason why some people didn't attend. And when the Green Book was out, they saw, okay, this is specifically about college students, and that is what our institution's about. So a lot more people saw the value of that.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, one of the other things that I would say that if you're, you know, if anybody listening is in a position where they are having, you know, it's the time for the effort to help build that consensus, is recognizing that staff who don't directly touch a student often feel like they're not as important. Now, that might not be a message that they're actually getting, but that might be how they're actually feeling. And, you know, that obviously will lead them to feeling a little bit disempowered. And when you introduce these concepts about how it can help give them the sense of what is surrounding them in terms of the college environment and what impacts those students, what we've found is it really helps kind of empower those staff people and make them see the importance of the role that they actually play.
I want to say one other thing, too. I think there's a great opportunity, too. We know that a lot of the backgrounds of our faculty and staff on campus that are actual employees, like several of them have come from a background of poverty. So I think this book and materials give the opportunity for our faculty and staff working together to better understand each other and support more of that staff that might be coming on board, our newer staff from an under-resourced background. So it's just given a lot of neat opportunities.
Any other questions? Anyone else? Well, I want to take the opportunity to thank you, both of you, for sharing today, and Carla for your insights as well. And please hear my thanks, too, and all the work that you're doing on campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, we will conclude this teleconference, and if you have other people who would like to hear it or you'd like to hear it again, it will be posted on the Facebook page in probably a week. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeanette. Savannah, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Carla.
Bye, everybody.